Friday, March 30th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So to begin, I wanted to point something out that I found very interesting. Now, that's probably not new to most of you, but it's something that I hadn't noticed before. I was actually reading a great article by Caitlin Johnstone about how she's being censored on Twitter, but how generally everybody is today. But she was discussing the muted section on her account. And I noticed while looking at this that there is a section now for people to literally mute words. You can mute specific words that will no longer show up in your newsfeed. And I found this incredibly interesting and revealing. We're at a point today where people are being intensely conditioned to just reflexively dismiss specific ideas, regardless of the facts at hand. That in and of itself is alarming. But now what we're seeing is, as opposed to where at one point people were afraid we were going to be manipulated or we were going to be censored or we were going to be controlled, they've literally turned it to where people are now censoring themselves, censoring their own reality. It due to conditioning that's been put in front of them, but where now people are literally building their own cages around them. And this is something that I've been talking about for a long time, but the fact that people are being conditioned to literally avoid certain contexts and certain words and certain discussions because they've deemed it to be offensive or whatever reason, their justification for it. It's people are literally now calling for their own subjugation. We're now we could talk about the Second Amendment, or the interesting part is this discussion that I'm having right now applies to so many different things on the field today, but literally people are being programmed to create their own cage and call for their own subjugation and call for the loss of their own rights based on many different factors that are being applied. But I find this very interesting to see. And this is a very different thing. I mean, I've talked a lot about social engineering in the last so many weeks, but I find it to be very important. I find it that we are seeing more intense social programming happening right in front of us than I've ever seen in my entire life. And I mean, I'd be willing to say more than we've ever seen ever, based just on the way things work today with the internet and just the ability for communication. We are seeing things change faster than we've ever seen before. And so I think that's why we're seeing such an intense step in this direction. But the simple idea that as opposed to actually being shut down by the government, we've been conditioned to do it for them. And that's a very important point that we need to begin to recognize. And while we sit here and fight about words and offenses and different things that hurt our feelings and, you know, feelings versus facts, which I've talked about quite a bit, Americans, the people, lose the most valuable asset we actually have. And that's our ability to actually hold powerful entities accountable. Because while we sit here and bicker amongst ourselves, things happen around us that we're not even paying attention to. And things happen that we are paying attention to, and yet people never get held accountable. Now, that's something that I had talked about a lot recently as well. But, you know, whatever happened to holding the FBI accountable? Something that I talked about a lot. Whatever happened to the bombshell FISA report that was supposed to bring down the deep state? Or conversely, the fact that it was, if that same report was released, which it ended up being, it was supposed to destroy national security. Ultimately, but clearly they lied to us, right? I mean, we have to begin to recognize this, but we're so caught up with this left-right divide and other aspects that they're throwing at us with, you know, the social justice warrior aspect and these different, the racial aspect, all these things that we're at each other's throats. We fail to actually recognize that not only did they lie to us, but that we never even actually held them accountable for that. We're not speaking truth to power anymore. We're not saying, hey, you lied to us about this. What's the truth? We move on to the next thing that they're pushing in front of us. That's something that we have to begin to see. And I can continue to nail this in and continue to drill this down and talk about it over and over and over. Mostly the people watching this are people that are already aware of this, but this is important to spread and talk about and get in front of people that are not aware of this. But that's the hardest part today, is that people are so deeply, intensely conditioned to this stuff that they will, again, reflexively dismiss this conversation simply because they've been conditioned to. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't talk to them and try, right? You plant the seed, you keep trying. But it's amazing to me how willingly people are literally locking themselves up for them instead of it happening the other way around. Now, jumping right into the first story that relates to what I was just talking to, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, McCabe lied four times to the DOJ and FBI, twice while under oath, which is called perjury, by the way. And that is a very enforceable crime that any one of us were to do, we'd be immediately arrested. So what we're seeing here is that ultimately, Congressman Jordan spoke about this recently on the news and talked about how he ultimately lied four times, twice while under oath. And yet he's basically claiming now, oh, well, I was confused and misunderstood and, you know, oh, whoops, my bad. I accidentally lied about the same thing four times. It's just very interesting to see this. And nothing's ultimately happening. Actually, what's happening is that we're seeing a GoFundMe page raise almost $400,000 now instead of, you know, because ultimately, remember, he was fired one day before he was to get his pension. So people are actually paying him now to lie to them. This is absolutely crazy to see. And this is because there's such a staunch divide, and everybody that thinks they're on his side of this political divide thinks they have to support him and that this must be some deep state plan to manipulate things and get him in trouble. But at the bottom of this whole thing, he lied four times under oath. That's not being disputed. He's simply saying that he just misunderstood and he was confused in the moment. But what's happening here, if you have to realize that if any one of us were in this position, even if we accidentally lied and committed perjury, there's no way we would not be held accountable for this. But we're seeing the same thing, as I've talked about many times in regard to Hillary Clinton and any number of other people, James Comey, that have gotten away with this, with absolutely nothing. Not even, I mean, maybe a little tarnish on their record from part of the divide, but majority of people walk completely scot-free. While all these other things happen that are getting held completely accountable, like I always bring up the cannabis aspect where you get caught with a piece of plant in your pocket and you go to prison for 20 years. But these people are committing federal crimes in front of everyone, in front of Congress, and then walking away scot-free. That has to show us something. That's a good point to bring to people to wake them up a little bit. But again, it's hard to wake people up that just simply don't want to see this. But that's a good story to continue to spread. And I mean, we need to continue to address the fact that accountability is simply non-existent when it comes to government today. Moving on to the next topic coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, child arrested for sharing photo of toy gun on social media that he got for his birthday. And this is something I'm beginning to touch on a lot in the recent last so many shows. You know, I've tried to stay away from this intense gun debate because clearly it's where they want us to be talking. If they want us to get at each other's throats about one side versus the other in regard to the Second Amendment and how one side misunderstands it and how, you know, all these different things. But this is something that's very interesting to me, and I think this reveals the real agenda behind it. This kid got an airsoft gun for his birthday. Now, you could make the argument that he took pictures and put them on Snapchat is the point. But you could make the argument that he did this maybe to try to upset people. And that's entirely possible. But it's not against the law to take pictures and put it on your Snapchat. But this, what happened, what he got suspended and arrested and searched, and then police went to the house of the parent and made her come out, and they searched the house even, claiming that he, you know, ultimately it's because of what happened in Florida and that this guy's going to be carrying out some kind of school shooting because he took a picture of his airsoft gun. But when you really dive into this story, you can see that the picture that he took is very clearly a toy gun. It even shows open that there's nothing in it. It shows that it says, warning, this is a toy. It even says, have a nice day on it with a smiley face. This is clearly a toy gun. Now, whether or not the police just chose not to do their due diligence, which is entirely possible, I have very little faith in a lot of these people today, or simply they just thought this was something else and, you know, that maybe he just because it's a toy gun doesn't mean we shouldn't investigate, but it went way too far. And the mom made the great point saying that he just simply took a picture of what he got for his birthday. If he was a skateboard, he would have taken a picture of a skateboard. But she was also extremely upset that they ended up arresting him, searching him, violating his rights, basically, and then forcing her to come out and search their house without ever even contacting her prior to the point when they searched her house. So this kid, without even contacting her parents, was searched and arrested. And I mean, it's absolutely an overreach. But even for people that are really hyped up about this gun scare today, we have to see a fine line here where this is going well beyond just simply protecting somebody. I mean, if there was guns on this, actual guns, and he was making threatening messages, maybe you can go and speak to him. and then find out what's going on. I mean, even that's not a crime at this point. Yes, it's highly suspect with everything that's been going on. And I agree that there should be some action. That's exactly where the FBI failed multiple times in regard to Florida. They should have gone and done something and spoken to him and you know, at least kept tabs to some degree. But even there's a line to be crossed, right? I mean, he's not breaking any laws, but this was an airsoft gun. It was not a real gun. There was no negative message. Ultimately, this is showing you where this is going. I think this entire thing is orchestrated to allow this overreach, to allow this continuation of our loss of rights, not just the Second Amendment, but all of our rights, ultimately, to where the government can basically do whatever it wants under the premise that you're a threat. That's what it comes down to for me. But this, I highly recommend, again, as always, that you dive into the story yourself and really dig through the details, because there's a lot to go over in one show. But the point is that this is a wild overreach, and that this has to begin to show us where this is all leading, and the fact that we're so caught up with yelling at each other that we're not paying attention to how far this is going. Moving on to the next story coming out of thedailysheeple.com, artificial embryo created. No egg, no sperm, no problem. A great article by John Rappaport. This really, these are the ones I like to touch on because it gets into this technologically advanced aspect that we tend to ignore until it comes right up in our face. We've been hearing these kind of stories for a long time. There was discussion about, you know, a sheep being cloned a long time ago, and it, you know, just kind of gets disregarded. But this kind of research has been going on for quite a long time, and this gets very alarming when you get into the story and understand where they're going with this. It's from MIT. MIT Technology Review actually had the story quoted in saying, in a breakthrough that redefines how life can be created, embryologists working at the University of Cambridge in the UK have grown realistic-looking mouse embryos using only stem cells, no egg, no sperm, just cells plucked from another embryo. The next step, she says, is to make an artificial embryo out of human stem cells, work that's being pursued at the University of Michigan and Rockefeller University. That's wildly alarming to me. If you don't understand what a stem cell is, I mean, I'm not an expert, but these are ultimately cells that are utilized. I don't know what the right word to use is there, but in the beginning of a life, and ultimately they can become anything, which is why they're used in these research, because they're trying to manipulate it to basically create life. And that's very alarming to see what's happening here. And that they're openly talking about the next step is to basically create a human being. And that just scares the crap out of me as far as I'm concerned. As John Rappaport said in his article, do not doubt for a second that scientists will edit genes in these embryos in order to see what fundamental changes they can make in human beings. Now, not with the embryo, but fundamental changes they can make in human beings in general is the point he's saying. And do not doubt that in a lab off the beaten track, researchers will try to bring a synthetic human embryo to term as a living, breathing baby. Now, that's not just hyperbole. That is actually where this is trying to go. And the point that he makes in this article, which is exactly where my mind goes with this, it's straight out of Brave New World, is ultimately a future of creating, whether we're talking about soldiers for the military, and you know, obviously that's something we can very much see them interested in, or creating laborers. Creating these artificial human beings to be sent to be, you know, laborers or miners or whatever. And I know that sounds wildly outside the box to some people, or just crazy conspiracy theory. It is absolutely something people have talked about, something that's being researched. But the point is, we're messing with things that we simply do not understand. Now, you could make the argument that these scientists and researchers absolutely know what they're getting into, but this is cutting edge breaking science. We don't know where this is going. And ultimately, we don't know if these steps will be taken we can ever come back from. If we begin to open up this Pandora's box where we can manipulate genes and change the way humans, you know, change eye color or add traits and the way they act, so you can kind of fine-tune, genetically edit your baby. I mean, these are all things we've seen on movies and, you know, kind of sci-fi futuristic ideas. It absolutely will be tried to be implemented. It's like he says, some kind of off the beaten track effort. You will see this science researched in black ops and, you know, black budget stuff by the military, the government behind the scenes, as it always is. And as I always make the point, it's quite possible that it's already happening that we don't even know about. But to see this happen and to see it come out and be heralded as some kind of new breakthrough positive step, it's very alarming to me, and it's something we need to keep very close eye on and make sure that it's not abused, at least as far as we can see. Obviously, we'll never know what they're doing behind the scenes, but it's important to understand where we're actually at and try to keep track of it. I'll make sure and follow up on this if I see anything else. Moving on to the next story coming out of the antimedia.org, Saudi Crown Prince. America asked us to spread ideology of ISIS. In the continuation of Western media's shameless promotion of a known war criminal, the Washington Post sat down with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman last Thursday for a 75-minute discussion. The Washington Post's following write-up on the interview clearly inadvertently revealed the truth, ultimately, which I find very interesting. It's quoted in saying, when asked about the Saudi-funded spread of Wahhabism, the faith that is dominant in the kingdom and that some have accused of being a source of global terrorism, Mohammed said that investments in mosques and madrasas overseas were rooted in the Cold War, when allies asked Saudi Arabia to use its resources to prevent inroads in Muslim countries by the Soviet Union. Now, what this is ultimately saying is that he's saying that the allies at this point asked Saudi Arabia to use its money to spread the basically the religion of Wahhabism or the ideology of Wahhabism. And that is absolutely a huge thing to say right there. It basically reveals that the ideology of ISIS is being spread around the world at the behest of the United States government, or rather the allies at this point, America. That is an absolutely crazy thing to say. It does, and that's not something to be debated at this point. Wahhabism is the core ideology of ISIS, and as well as Saudi Arabia, which is something we continually point out that gets ignored by mainstream media, because clearly they're a huge funder of terrorism around the world. That's ultimately not disputed at this point. But the point that they have openly now admitted, I think inadvertently rather, that the Washington Post even covered this, that they were asked by the allies to go around the world and do this. And that is hugely revealing. And it's something that the origins of ISIS are no longer a secret. We know, even going back to Al-Qaeda and the funding to fight the Soviets, we know that Afghanistan, or rather the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, was used to ultimately combat the Soviets. And we know this. This isn't a fact. And then Al-Qaeda later formed into ISIS. And then even from that point forward, we have evidence to show that the United States government was funding, arming, and basically using them as a proxy army to destabilize countries such as Syria. These are facts on the table today, and in large ways, almost not even disputed anymore, just kind of manipulated to try to bend the truth. To now find out that this has been, the point was for them to spread this around the world, probably to lead to where we are today, to ultimately destabilize other countries, is groundbreaking. And again, I think this was inadvertently revealed, but it's something that we need to continue to recognize, that this is where this comes from and how it's being used. I pointed out recently about how in Syria right now, the United States government is ultimately, and rather the US-led coalition and United States government, is kind of, you know, encircling the last little faction of ISIS in Syria and not allowing anybody else to get through, clearly protecting them from being completely annihilated from Syria, which many have argued is because if they were to lose them completely in Syria, they would lose all of their justification to be there in the first place, despite the fact that it's illegal already. But ultimately, this is a very big thing to see, and it's something that needs to be digested. Actually read this, as much as I hate reading anything from the Washington Post. Take this in and understand what he said right there, because it is very big. It's a very big deal for him to say this and admit to where the history of this actually comes from. Moving on to the next story coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, the personal data Google has on you is shocking and dwarfs that of Facebook. Here's how to stop it. Web developer Dylan Curran, if I'm saying his name correctly, based in Waterford, Ireland, is making headlines this week after he recently downloaded both his Facebook data file and his Google data file. And he makes the point throughout this in the article as well as the original that the Google data file is wildly larger with so much more going on than Facebook. And the first point that comes to my mind that I made earlier is why it's interesting to see that Facebook is getting so much attention here, when in reality, Google has so much more going on in this regard. I think it's twofold. One, it's to kind of keep attention off Google, because that's ultimately the crux of the issue here. And as well as the fact that Facebook can be kind of folded into this Russian collusion narrative, clearly which we're seeing, which then leads to more censorship under the premise that we have to stop the foreign invasion through our social media, which is ridiculous. But this is very interesting to see. I mean, this article really does a great job, or rather Dylan from Ireland makes a great job of breaking down exactly how much is going on. And it is absolutely astronomical. It's wild to see how much is actually going on. And most people are kind of generally aware of it. But even I was shocked when you get in here and dig through this and see that not only are they tracking every single move you make in every possible way you go. And I argue that's even if you turn off your location. That's my opinion. But they claim that once it's turned off, they can no longer track your position. But you can go in and actually see where you've been over, you know, since you've been using Google from the very beginning. It tracks your location, your timestamp, everything. It goes on to track everything you talk about, every app you use, every email you send. And then it even goes on to show that even the stuff that you delete, even the emails you delete and the thing, you know, everything is saved. You can go back and actually look at deleted content, old financial records, things that you thought were no longer there are saved, in fact, on this data file. And that's pretty crazy. I mean, that's not something that I think anyone understands. I mean, it even goes on to things like your what you share on your Google Hangouts and YouTube and all the different sites you check and the videos you watch. I mean, I can't even rattle off enough to really express to you how crazy it is when you read this article. And again, I think most people are pretty much aware of this stuff, but to actually see it and to go into the actual file and look at how far and how well they've documented everything you've done since you've began using Google all these years ago is absolutely staggering. And it's something we need to begin to look at and address and not just focus on one or the other. You know, it seems like it's either Twitter or Facebook. It's everything. Everything you do online today is completely tracked. I mean, ever since Edward Snowden and the NSA files, we know this stuff. We know that they're tracking us. We know that they're building files on every single one of us under the premise they're trying to protect us, which is absurd because we've shown so many different times that that has absolutely no effect until after the fact. That there's so much data to look at, they don't even know where to look until they know where to look ultimately. So something happens, they can then fine tune it and look someone up and say, here's all the information. But prior to that, there was so much information that they couldn't see any of it. It's a needle in a haystack. And this has been verified many times over. That's why we see these things carried out with nothing that ultimately happens. But it's very interesting to see this, and it's very revealing. And it's something that might wake a few people up when you really allow them to dig into this information. But I highly recommend you go in here, and because it shows you how to turn these things off. As much as I feel like it probably won't make much difference, it's still worth turning off the voice recognition and the tracking and all the different things that it does, because it is alarming to see. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming out of the antimedia.org, Israeli troops kill 9 Palestinian protesters along Gaza border, hundreds injured. With worries that numbers will continue to rise, Israeli forces reportedly killed at least 9 Palestinians and injured hundreds more as an estimated 20,000 gathered along the Gaza-Israeli border for the launch of a 6-week March of Great Return on Friday. Despite march organizers and Palestinian politicians maintaining that the march is a nonviolent one, Israeli officials have called the protests violent riots, clearly trying to control the message. Now, I bet you it goes both ways. I'm sure that there are, to some degree, some kind of violent actions happening, but you could also then make the argument that that was orchestrated to allow them to be able to do what they're doing. It goes both ways, but none of it justifies such violent action. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is ask yourself, what if this was a U.S. enemy? What if this was happening in Syria and they were at the exact same situation and you saw the Assad government come out and start killing people based on the fact that they were violently rioting? That would be, you would see a humanitarian call across the world that we need to invade him and stop him from killing civilians, despite the fact that the United States government kills civilians on a daily basis all around the world under the premise that they're bombing something. Who knows, right? It doesn't even matter anymore. But interestingly enough, this is what we're seeing here in Gaza. And it's just very revealing when you understand the hypocrisy taking place here. And that's kind of where I wanted to leave this today. But this is a story that you need to look at because there's a lot going on here. And it's, like I said, it goes both ways. I'm sure there are Palestinians who are not necessarily peacefully marching around. But it all comes back to the fact that when you don't understand the history here, that the Israelis have a very dark history of such violent and manipulative action in this regard. And yet, but even if the Palestinians were being violent, it does not justify blatantly killing civilians and just indiscriminately killing and injuring people during a march. I mean, it's very interesting. But we have to begin to see overall the inherent hypocrisy here in current U.S. foreign policy and what that ultimately reveals about its intentions. We need to stop being distracted by so many other things going on around us and recognize what's really going on in the world, how we pick and choose who exactly we enforce things to, and just wild hypocrisy all across the table. And, you know, I've talked about this so many different times. We've so many examples to point out. Syria and Israel are perfect because of the story we just talked about and how we've seen no proof for the accusations made in Syria, yet they enforce and bomb them nonetheless. And we've seen admissions for these very actions in Israel, along with an excuse to justify it, and not a peep from anyone. And that has to show you some wild hypocrisy. Saudi Arabia is another good example of the very things we see. I mean, we just talked about the fact that their core ideology is the same as ISIS, and the fact that they behead people on a regular basis, and just have, you know, human rights are non-existent there. Yet we don't even discuss that. And it just, we have to begin to see this absolute hypocrisy on the table, because I mean, we're so distracted by everything that's going on that we fail to recognize these things, or rather, I think most recognize it to some degree, but fail to do anything about it because we're so charged up about exactly what they want us to be talking about. A good example I just saw is that an interesting story is now, I guess, Alex Jones' son is now calling, you know, speaking out and calling David Hogg out and saying, we're going to have a debate, because basically saying he's wrong and they need to debate it. And really what we're seeing here, they have now created both sides of the debate in order to get everyone back into the manipulation. And this is ultimately not new. This is something we've seen for a very long time, I think, since the beginning of manipulation. But it's interesting to see how this is being played. We have to recognize that they're both fake. Right? I mean, from both sides of it. I mean, fake is probably a deceiving word for some people because they're real people. But the point is, it's orchestrated. Both sides of this, David Hogg, Alex Jones' son, many other people involved in this are orchestrated. They're giving you part of the message that they want you to hear because they want you to get riled up and they want you to fight each other. They want you to pick a side. That's what it comes down to. And just like they once, and ultimately still do, fund both sides of wars, going back to the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, we're now seeing this applied to the current war enveloping the American mind and to keep us at each other's throats instead of using the power to actually dictate the direction of this country. It's the socially engineered political battlefield, the two-party divide. We need to begin to see that. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.